Y'all have a seat. I'm so glad you're here. I'm going to try to do this without choking this time. Yeah. I'm so glad that you are here. I've got some guests that I'll introduce to you in a minute, but I want to start off with a thought. If you really believe the lyrics of that last song, then you have the certainty of knowing that you can and you will persevere through anything that you're dealing with.
Amen.
I mean, it's truly, if there's a place for you in the house of God where you can claim, as David did in the 23rd Psalm, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, what a gift. But I encourage you, let's live like it. Let me pray for us, then we'll get started. God, thank you for your goodness and your provision, for your kindness and your grace. God, would you shower it down on people watching and people in this room, that we might experience and know you more and discover the purpose you have for us in this life. And God, between now and heaven, give us wisdom to walk with you in every way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Let me invite our guests. Y'all come on up and take your spots. We're going to do kind of a super cool little sit around the table kind of thing today. I know this is a little different. But hang in there with us, because I want to introduce all my friends and want you to be a part of today's discussion. Now, you might be saying, okay, Chuck, wait a minute. I invited a guest because last week you got all fired up, and I like that. And now we're going to have people. And I'm like, but these are great people, and I can't wait for you to hear from them. But before I introduce them to you, I want to give you a thought. I've made no bones about the fact that when I was a little boy, I loved the show Daniel Boone. Loved it, right? As I got a little older, I realized that Fess Parker, who played Daniel Boone, was wearing tights. And that's just not cool, but just whatever. I mean, he was wearing yoga pants before we knew what yoga pants were. And yet the show was the same every single week. Daniel Boone would leave the safety of the fort, go out, and he would get in trouble with bad guys. And he would have to fight and do all the things. But the goal was to get back inside the fort to safety, right? Well, this one show, I'm watching, and Daniel Boone steps into quicksand. Now, I'm pretty sure there's no quicksand in Kentucky, but whatever. Daniel Boone steps into quicksand. Now, you know if you've watched a show where somebody steps into quicksand, I mean, this is not going to end well. Because the minute you get in quicksand, you start flailing around and, get me out, help, help, help. And the more you do that, the faster you sink. Right? You ever been? I mean, no, you've never been there. Did you know I found that there's a place, though? No kidding, Julie. I found there's a place in Australia that has honest goodness quicksand. Like, there's a beach there that they have to post and not let anybody walk in it because of quicksand. So, Dan, don't go there. I know how much you want to, but don't. And so the thing is, in that episode, I mean, it really bothered me. I mean, it was the kind of episode I had nightmares with, and I thought, I just don't want to step in quicksand. I mean, you know, at the time when I was a little boy, I was living in Daytona Beach, Florida, and it's like, I'm pretty sure there's no quicksand in Daytona, but if there is, I don't want to step in it because I don't want to die in the quicksand, because when you die in quicksand, you die alone, and you're just flailing, and you can't get out. And I learned watching Daniel Boone, in quicksand, you can't get out by yourself. Somebody has to help you. So Daniel is sinking, and the dude that's the Indian, that's his helper, excuse me, the guy that was a Native American that was his helper, went over and chopped down a bush or something and stuck it out there, and he grabbed it and he drug him out. And I thought, that Daniel, man, he's something. But in that moment, the dude that was the Indian dude, now he was super cool, because he jumped in and saved my boy, Daniel Boone. Life lesson from Daniel Boone. When we get into the quicksand of life, you never get out alone. God made you to need other people. But I don't want to leave it there, because I want to remind you that most of us in this room woke up this morning in a bed with a roof over our head, and hopefully knew where you were when you woke up. And when you woke up, you probably had something to eat, and you probably had some means of transportation to get here. And from the looks of it, you had clothes to wear. Now, it could be like our daughters when they were growing up. There's a difference between I have clothes versus clothes I want to wear, because then you say, I don't have anything to wear, when you've got a closet full of things to wear, but you don't think you have anything to wear. I get it. But let's face it, none of you came naked, which I'm grateful for. I mean, that can cause a stir in church. You know, I mean, that's a YouTube moment waiting to happen, but not a good one. And today, though, we're going to spend some time talking about some folks who don't have those niceties, don't have that security, and are flailing a little bit in quicksand. I love the fact that the thing that matters most around Sugar Hill Church is how do we serve people in need? I love the fact that's what we wake up thinking. So I love the fact that Julie has built ClearPath, and we've got 100-plus therapists and hundreds of people that we've cared for. I love the fact that Amanda's built up a single mom's ministry and helping dozens of singles mom. I love the fact that Jenny's built up Meals on Wheels. They're going to serve 30,000 meals to seniors that don't have care. I love the fact that we're helping folks that are new to our country learn English. I love the fact that we go to trailer parks and serve our Hispanic families in our community. I love that over in the chapel right now is about 380 people that are worshiping in Spanish. I love all that stuff. But there's a segment that we're not doing anything for that breaks my heart, and that's what today is all about. We want to introduce you to what it is when a church genuinely wraps its arms around the foster care community. And you say, well, Chuck, listen, I didn't come for that. I just wanted to come hear me preach. I just wanted to preach and sing and just go out and then enjoy lunch. You'll still go enjoy lunch, but I want to introduce people that are going to help us do that. This is Kayla Merritt. Kayla is a big deal, and she runs a foster care ministry entitled Uniting Hope. I believe it's unitinghope.org, right? And they're based in Walton County. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Loganville, but let me just say, you can't really get from here to there at any time during the day. It is, it can't be done. You need a helicopter, right? So our desire is to have a Uniting Hope in Sugar Hill. She doesn't know she's going to do that yet, but that's the goal, right? And so she's going to tell us a little bit of how we partner together with an agency that's built on faith. Now, next to her is Candace Knobloch, and Candace is our champion. Everything we do around here has a person that's kind of a champion for it, right? And Candace has foolishly agreed to do this, and so we're going to work her to death. And Candace, I'm so grateful. She's going to share a little bit about a thing called Care Portal, on how everybody can be a part of serving others. Then we have Josephine Plink. Josephine is a foster parent of four. Last year had open heart surgery, and I think would say open heart surgery was nothing compared to raising these kids. Yeah, maybe. And then Julie Homrich, which is my podcast partner for Positive Talk Podcast, also runs ClearPath Counseling along with Mandy Allison. And just a dear friend, one of the smartest people I know, and her husband, Dan, who is equally smart and super awesome. And they're going to talk a little bit of what it is like to be able to have respite care for children that are already placed in foster care and other ways that we can wrap our arms around the foster care memory. Now, I'm going to give you a thought, and then I want to let them talk. You ready? Number one, here's a stat that I want you to wrap your head around. Number one, if every church, not every family, but one family in every church in the state of Georgia were to take one foster child out of the system and into their home, we would empty the foster care system of the state of Georgia. Now, let that sink in. I don't mean every one of you. I mean one of you in a church. But that assumes all the other churches are going to do that. All right? So listen, I'm not here to throw shade at any church whatsoever. What I am here to say to you is this. The reality says there are at least 30 or 40 around us that are never going to tackle this issue, all right? So that means a church like ours needs to step up with 30 or 40 people that will step in and do this work. And my expectation is this is the kind of church that will. But before you blow the whistle on me and throw the flag and say, Chuck, you don't know how busy I am. I can't do this. There is a way for you to partner to help us minister to foster children, foster families, birth families, and respite families in a way that works into what your capacity is. Like whatever margin you do or don't have, there's a way for you to participate. We're not saying to you, okay, you don't love Jesus if you don't take on a foster child. This is not the guilt trip for that. What I am saying to you, though, that when James, the half-brother of Jesus, says, listen, the gospel is the gospel when we go care for orphans and widows. What James is saying is this, that if you're going to walk with Jesus, you're going to care for people who can't care for themselves, right? So that's what we're about here, and this is a new endeavor that we want to introduce you to. So Kayla, I want you to get started and tell us a little bit about Uniting Hope and how Uniting Hope and Sugar Hill Church plays ball together.
Yeah, so thanks so much for having me here. It's really been a joy to be here, and I'm just one of a team of people who care deeply about foster care, who walk with God and want to see foster care impacted. And so one of the things that I care a lot about is making sure that everyone in this room leaves with a little more information about what's going on in foster care right now. So first, I just want you to know that in Georgia, there are 11,000 children in foster care. And all the time, every day, children are being removed from their homes, removed from everything they know, the people that are safest to them, and placed in homes with strangers. Hundreds a week this is happening to. And these kids are removed for a variety of different reasons, but two of the most common reasons in Georgia are substance use and abuse by a caregiver, and it's not safe for the child to stay, so they have to leave. And then also neglect. So the family just doesn't have everything they need to make sure that the kids are okay. This is tons of families in Georgia that are being really changed forever by the children in their home being removed and placed somewhere else. So foster care impacts so many other things that we care about, like trafficking and incarceration and homelessness and teen pregnancy. So many foster children go on to struggle because their time in foster care was a struggle. And Uniting Hope really exists to make sure that there are safe, faith-centered families that can wrap around the child that's placed in the home and also the family so that families can be reunified and restored and built back better than they were found. So that's kind of what we're about. I do want you to know that specifically in the Sugar Hill area, there are roughly 37 children that have been removed within a 15-mile radius of this location.
Hey, can you guys bring that slide up that shows that? I want you to see this slide. When Kayla showed me this, it just blew my mind. Because if we're not careful, we'll think, well, we live in a relatively affluent area. We have good schools, good families, good communities, good churches, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing that I think we all have to wrap our head around, that foster care touches every socioeconomic group in the world. Foster care is not about whether you're affluent or not, but it does affect every issue that we see in America. When I was talking with Hope Through Soap that we partner with on trying to tackle teen homelessness, I mean, just this in the past couple of months, this church has served over 200 homeless teenagers, all right? Now think about that. 50% of those, according to Hope Through Soap, came straight out of foster care. So if you're wondering the impact that it has an impact on all of us. So when I look at this, Kayla, I think to myself, 37 literally on our doorstep.
Mm-hmm. That's right
here.
That's right.
That is a shocking statistic.
Yeah, and unfortunately, one of the things that this map really shows us is that kids are not able to be placed close to home because there aren't enough homes close to their home.
Right.
So that means they have to change schools, change a lot of life. They have to drive further to visit their family, and it just makes it hard.
So how many of y'all like change? Hold your hand up. How many of you just like change? Okay, let me ask you another one. How many of you like change better when it's done to you? That's what I thought. Imagine what happens to these children. Birth family, gone. School, gone. Friends, gone. Play friends, gone. Toys, gone. Familiar room, gone. Everything changes, everything's new, and the one thing that can add to that is stability and faith. But this is where you come in to help us.
Yeah, and I just want to say, this isn't okay.
No.
This is crazy. The amount of children and families impacted, it's a crisis. And so we really want to rally together to say, let's do something about this. And Uniting Hope is considered a child placing agency. That means we have a license and a contract with the state of Georgia to license foster homes and then place children that have been removed from their homes into safe faith-filled homes. So we kind of handle all of the process of foster care in order to make it as easy as possible for families to say yes to foster care. So that's kind of what we do in a really, really like up kind of a way.
Big way. But yeah. One of the things we want to invite you to do is when you leave today, step straight out into the lobby, and Kayla's table is there, and we'd like for you to sign up to just get more information. Now, I promise you, nobody's going to drop a kid off on your front step tonight, okay? All you're doing is saying, I'd like to know more about the many ways that I might could be a part of serving foster care, foster families, all right? But we'd love for you to do that. The reason we partner with an agency is a lot like we try to do with Clear Path or with Single Moms or Meals on Wheels. We want to help somebody along the journey so it's not so difficult to do the ministry of the journey. So part of what Uniting Hope, and one of the reasons I love Kayla and her organization so much, is the fact that, one, she's so Sugar Hill, it's ridiculous. I mean, she just fits in. But along with that, she's agreed for she and her staff to help our families walk through the process. And as foster families can tell you, it's not easy. I mean, it's not like the state makes this a simple process for you. Nor should they, right? I mean, we're dealing with children's lives. Yeah. But let me just stop and say to you, if we keep thinking that this is a governmental problem and the government needs to fix it, it will only become a greater crisis. You cannot fix a spiritual problem with governmental controls, all right? The only way you fix a spiritual problem is when the church stands up to be the church, which is why a church like Sugar Hill may have to take on 30 or 40 because there may be 30 or 40 that won't, but bless the Lord, let's do our part and then some. And so that's why Kayla's partnered with us. Now, for most of you, you're not going to have a child come live in your home, but there is a way that you can help. And this is one of the things I love because I want Candace to talk to you a little bit about what it is to join in an effort called Care Portal. I fell in love with Care Portal back in the day. And here's what Care Portal does now. You as an individual can sign up to be part of Care Portal. You go to careportal.org, or you can just sign up back here and say, I want to know more about Care Portal. Either way. And when you do, as an individual, you can serve and minister to people in needs, such as I sign up for Care Portal. I watch a little training online in my house or car, wherever you're at. And then you receive emails. And they come in partnership with the Department of what do they call it? What's DFAC stand for? Family Child Services. I knew it was out there somewhere. You know, short-term memory. I got to give up Diet Coke. And then, on top of that, other private organizations partner with Care Portal as well. So let's just say I sign up. I get an email, and it says, we have a family who needs a crib, right? So somebody can bring a crib. It could be, I have a crib, but I need somebody to put a crib together. Somebody does that. I have a newborn. I don't have diapers. Okay, you can provide that. Now, here's what's cool about it. When Candace tells you how to do this and what it's about, this is the big deal. It is one thing for you to partner with the church when the church does mission work. It is a whole nother thing when you own agency to your own mission. Like, we're actually growing up in the gospel when we own our own mission and the church isn't responsible for all your mission. When you start doing the work of God on your own, now you're doing something. I celebrate when people partner with us. I love it, right? But I'm telling you, I go bananas when somebody's out there just doing it because it's what God called us to do. So Candace, tell us kind of what the deal is.
Okay, so with Care Portal, it's really cool. You go through a training with them. It's about an hour with an organization that we are also partnering with called Promise 686. So you say, yes, I want to learn more about this, and I want to know that if I meet a need, what is that going to look like and how am I going to be trained for that? With Care Portal, you can do anything as simple as you get this email that's come in. The people that have put the information on there are either DFACS workers, people that have been vetted by the Care Portal agency, people like Uniting Hope for Children. Would come and say, you know, we have it could be a birth family. You know, they're in an extended stay. Their children are going to be taken away from them unless they can get on their own feet and they need, you know, money, funds to be able to stay, you know, in the extended care for another week. So you can maybe never meet that family, but you can say, hey, I can give that money. And then it could be something like, okay, we have a foster family and they are ready to have children in their home. They've gone through the training, but in order to be able to meet that need, they need some single beds. And can you go deliver those single beds? And you say, yeah, I can do that. So when you say yes on the care portal, and you'll get a lot of request in, and it will be in our area because that's the way it's set up. You can, you know, just look at it, and it might be something that you go, you know, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming. You know, Lord, meet that need. You know, you can take a minute and pray, you know, God, whoever's out there that could meet that need. So, you know, you can do it like that. You could do it to where you're going and delivering the furniture. You might have a birth family, you know, and you know, wow, this is kind of a messy situation. You know, they don't have some of the things that they need. They needed some groceries. And so the defects workers put in there, you know, they need the groceries. So you go over and you meet that family and you might build a relationship with them there. And that's what the responder training helps you to do.
Right. So good. So here's what I want to say to you. Most of us sometime in this week felt a little overwhelmed, anxious, and stressed. I would be willing to say that's most of us, right? Based on the number of requests that we get through ClearPath or Julie's private practice or even my office, I'd say that's all of us, all right, including me. I mean, sometimes when Julie and I have a recording session, I get home and Jenny's like, oh, you must have had a good day. She's like, did you meet with Julie today? Yes, that's what happened. I kind of get a therapy session along the way of a recording session. But every study in the world will show that one of the ways we work our way out of that is, yes, we need help, but one of the ways we do that is we give ourselves away. Every study in the world will show one of the fastest ways to get out of a funk is to give yourself away. And one of the best ways to do that is through Care Portal. CarePortal.org. You can sign up, costs you nothing. You can be a part of ministering to people directly. You don't have to go through anybody. It's a super cool opportunity for anybody and everybody. There's literally no reason why 100 people today don't sign up for Care Portal and say, I'm in. So when I send you a little thank you and say, man, thank you for signing up for Care Portal, it's just because I happen to see and know that as a part of Sugar Hill Church you did, and I'm going to say on the front end, thank you. That's just stinking awesome. Way to go. All right. This is my friend Dan Homrich. Dan, one of the questions I've got for you and Julie, because y'all do respite for foster families, which means children that are in a foster family come hang out with you guys about a weekend a month, right? And how many kids do you guys usually have when you have respite weekends?
Typically, we have our home is set up to take in two kids.
Yeah. So Dan and Julie have two boys, active boys, and they have an incredibly busy life. Dan is an executive and serial entrepreneur and just always doing something very cool. Julie runs a private practice, ClearPath, and helps all kind of nonprofits. And somehow, some way, what in the world were you thinking? Because when Julie said y'all were going to do this, my first thought was, but you have no room for this in your life. What were you thinking?
You want to answer that first for me? I mean, for myself, it really comes down to seeing it through the eyes of the children. Mm. Love is always enough.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, how can you be 3, 4, 5 years old and suddenly everybody that's close to you is suddenly ripped away, right? It's just, you have to show up. You know, we're called to show up. And I mean, we sing that song that we sang just a little bit ago of, can that child believe that they are a child of God, that he's there for them, that they are not forsaken, and can we be the home as the manifest presence of God on earth to them, to prove that that song is true for you and for them.
Wow, wow, that is really the only way you see it. To say yes, because it makes no earthly sense to do like Josephine and take four children. That makes no earthly sense at all. I mean, if you sit down with anybody and say, "Here's what I'm thinking," I have children of my own. We're stretched and probably living month to month already, and we're going to take more children on into our home, which means responsibility, stress, all the family dynamic. I mean, you know what it's like. And you're willing to say that. Anybody would look at you and say, oh, that's a great idea. Okay, don't listen to them anymore. right? I mean, that's not who you're looking for advice from, right? But what happens when that advice becomes heavenly advice? And the God of all creation steps in, as Dan said, and I'm going to see through the eyes of lens, of love, that lens of love. Dan said something earlier. He said, what would happen if everybody got a piece of paper and I said, write down the three names of the people most dear to your heart, and you wrote them down. And then he said, now, what I'd like for you to do is tear that piece of paper up and throw it away. Just throw it on the floor. Just cast it down. Let everybody stomp on it. In a literal sense, that's what's happening to these boys and girls, by no fault of their own. So, Julie, it can't be easy on your biological family. I mean, your boys are, how old are your boys now?
Yeah, so we have an 11-year-old and an almost 7-year-old.
Right.
And like you said, they are very active.
Yeah.
They have very specific needs as well. And I think for Dan and I, you know, this has always been something that's been on our heart, but I think that when I started working with foster families and seeing that those families were so burnt out, I recognized that we can do something, right? Mm-hmm. When we think about foster care, we think about do for the one what you can't do for all of them. And for us, it was do for a weekend what you can't do full time, right? And even I see the Bosmas over there, you know, they are our neighbors. And this is a way that all of us as a community can step in. We had an emergency placement a few weeks ago, and they took our kids for the day.
Wow.
And they played with them, and they had pizza, and they did all the things so that we could help these kids get settled into our home.
Wow.
And that's the community that we, you know, we work together. We're able to really provide for these kids. And I think for our kids in particular, it's not easy for them, right?
I mean, you're sharing a parent's affection. You're sharing
toys,
you're sharing time and space.
All of the things. When you invite someone into your home, that's intimate. And it's not always comfortable for them. But we say that foster care is a family decision. We pray together. We talk to the boys before we invite someone into our home. We have dinner afterward and talk about what that experience was like. It's been something we've done as a family. And our boys aren't always super comfortable with it.
Sure, yeah.
But I think what Dan and I realized...
How could they be?
Yeah, it's not always a comfortable thing, but our kids, they were getting too comfortable is what we found, and they were getting complacent, and their biggest concern was how to make enough money for the next video game, and we recognized that as well, and it's really been a gift to kind of see them.
Yeah, I'm not going to take a poll because I wouldn't embarrass anybody on this at all, but if you have a child and you're wondering, are they an entitled child? That feels like the world owes them something and they've grown up in affluence and now they just demand. And could I stop and say to you, the only fix for that is to learn how to serve people that don't have that. It is truly the only fix. I mean, when I think about your boys, I think to myself, the head start that you're giving your children on what it is to be a servant leader at that age might be the greatest gift you'll ever give your boys. Because your boys are going to grow up knowing what it is to give myself away. So I just, Dan, what advice would you give us? Not everybody can take a child. We know that. I'm not expecting that. Not everybody can do a respite. Not everybody can do like Josephine and take a child. But almost everybody can do Care Portal. Almost anybody can join a community like you have and support. But what would be your advice to us?
I mean, I think one thing to comment on, too, is for our kids and for all of us, I think it's easy to prejudge why these kids are in these situations and think that those are kids that would be different than our kids.
Right.
And for our kids to play with kids to see that they're really not any different than them.
That's right.
Right? They just got a different deck of hands dealt to them.
Yeah.
And so you can show up and be human and empathize and connect. Mm. And I think that this isn't an others problem. This is an us problem.
Yeah, it is.
Right? This is a problem for us to step into and to recognize that I believe, you know, this church, and this is why we're part of this church, is we can sit in difficult things.
Right.
And we're okay dealing with hard stuff. Like, it's not easy. It just isn't.
No.
Right? There's no masking to that.
Right.
There's no, like, romance to, like, this is amazing.
It really
every
isn't.
Single day.
Yeah.
No, it's difficult, but we could deal with difficult because also we're adults and they're kids.
Right.
So we can sit in the difficulty. We're forcing, they're really the ones doing the hard
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
We're just trying to do the best that we can do to provide a moment of joy, a moment of love. We're like the fun aunt and uncle doing respite for the parents, you know, that are doing foster
care.
Yeah,
that's right, though.
Right? Like, we get to take them on things that maybe they haven't done before.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just a matter of being present, right?
And I love the statement, though. Be human. Be empathetic. Play. Show and share love. And you're saying, well, what are the requirements? I just gave them to you. Right? Those are the requirements. And I would just encourage all of you to know that there is a place for you in this need. And as followers of Jesus, we literally have an admonition to say, go do this. This is not one of those that's optional, like, okay, maybe I could do that. This is, I'm calling you to walk with Jesus to do this. I mean, the scriptures are super clear. Well, but Chuck, I don't know how to do it. Be human. Be present, share love, be empathetic. You're qualified. Boom, right? Is it easy? Well, of course not. I mean, I got to be honest. If it was easy, let's leave it to somebody else, right? I mean, if it's easy, then we don't need the Lord's hand. If it's easy, we don't need the power of Christ. If it's easy, we don't need the Spirit of God. It's not easy. We need all those things. Let's jump in head first, right? Let's just go. So I just would say for all of us, there's a space here. Find your space. Maybe it's praying. And you say, well, Chuck, all I can do is pray. No, that's the best thing you can do. I mean, there's literally no reason for everybody not to be praying for these families. I mean, we can help recruit foster parents. We can volunteer to be care teams in this community. We can pray. We can give. I mean, there's a million different ways for us to serve inside foster care. And you say, Chuck, I just can't do a child right now. Maybe you shouldn't right now. But you can pray, you can give, you can serve in a community. There's something you can do. But if you do feel this tug, I want you to hear Josephine talk about what it's like when that happens. All right, now prepare yourself, all right, because Josephine's not going to wrap this up in pretty paper for you. All right, she's going to tell you the straight up. So tell us a little bit about, you have four children right now, right?
Currently.
Four foster children and two adult children. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
To foster, the definition, to care for someone not of your blood. Mm. Easy, right? Simple? It's not. There's nothing simple. It is not in a pink little box with a ribbon on it. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do, but it's the most rewarding. Amen. It's something that I always had on my heart, always, and I don't know where it came from, and I'm lucky and I'm blessed that my husband and my children came on this journey with me because I could not do it without them. The whole family has to be in it.
Yeah.
Good, bad, ugly. And it gets ugly. But it's also the most beautiful thing when a child comes to you with dim eyes, no voice, and you can bring that back to them. You can give Amen. Them their light back. You can give them hope. You can show them what a real family is. Good, bad, and ugly. But not horrible. Because what they grow up in is horrible. It's like a movie of the week.
Yeah.
It's the children that have come into our home have been so broken. Mm. And I tell you, you get the phone call at 2:30 in the morning. You're not going to get it when it's convenient at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's 2:30 in the morning. You're going to wake up and go, there's a child. And they give you what they know. And they might give you the top three things. And there's 25 things that you need to know.
Yeah.
And you uncover that by opening up your heart and listening to what they say. Now, through all the teachings, know there is a process that you have to go through to become a foster parent. They make it quite easy. It is time-consuming to a certain degree. But never in the teachings did they say love. Mm. You don't have to love these children. You don't. You don't. You don't. You get to love these children, and they get to love you too. There's a beauty about a child who says, can I call you mom? You can call me anything you want. And she said, can I call you great grandma? Nope. So they call me Miss J, because Mrs. Plink is too formal. Josephine is too familiar. Put the Miss in front of it to add a little respect, and we'll add the letter J. Even the judge calls me Miss J. But you just have to open your heart. And I'm here, and they're here to help you. You're not doing this alone.
Amen.
Those children are or were alone. Mm. And the other thing you have to teach is the birth parents. It's easy for us to judge and say, oh, they were on drugs, or they did this, or they did that. It's not my job to judge them. It's my job to help them they are able to reunite.
That's right.
It's not my job. That's the judge and the defects and the police. That's all them.
What I do want to jump in on this one, Josephine, to make sure everybody hears this. I should have said it earlier. There is a big difference between foster care ministry and adoption ministry. Big difference, right? Now, there are foster children that get adopted, of course, right? I mean, you've done that or are going to.
I'm hoping to do it,
yeah. But what we're talking about is our greatest desire is to help that birth family get back together in a healthy fashion. The single greatest desire is to help those children find stability, faith, and safety while that family receives the right help so that they can do the same thing in that adult fashion and they can come back together and experience it together. That's the greatest desire of Uniting Hope, Sugar Hill Church, Care Portal, and these folks right here. That's what we want. It doesn't always happen, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't desire for it to happen. And I really do believe that the call on this church to do this is to help that birth family and that child. So Josephine, when you took your first child, what was that first experience like?
I got a phone call, 3 o'clock in the morning. We had put a preference in our age, what we wanted. But they called and told us there was a 13-year-old girl. And my first instinct was no. And I need to tell you, this was the first opportunity I had to hear the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has always been around, but I never took the time to listen. And I heard this is the one. I'm thinking, no, I don't want a 13-year-old. No, this is the one. This is the one. So I put the caseworker who had been on the phone for 2.5 hours trying to find a family. And I woke up my husband and I said, we're getting a placement. The next statement I'm going to be is going to be immature. And he goes, do we need diapers? And I went, nope. We're going to probably need other products for this young lady. 20 minutes later, she was sitting in my living room. In the process, while she was in care, her mother passed away in a car accident. Her father, they started reunification, but then faltered and she aged out of the system. And she's somewhere out there. And I'm hoping she turns and she comes to us, but chances are that she's not. But you get that first phone call, and there's a lot of rules to know, and there's a lot of things to know, but we are a community that's going to help you. Yeah. You get a phone call at 3 o'clock, you can call me at 3:05.
Right.
I'm getting a placement. What do I do? Now, we've been doing this for 5 years, 18 kids in. We like sibling groups. I like having the kids together because they help me learn about the other child.
Yeah.
Now I have a place in my basement because we're committed to this, that has clothes because these kids will come to you with nothing.
Yeah.
And the parents refuse to give whatever they have to you because that's kind of being vulnerable and giving them an opportunity. That's not the best interest of the kids. So I have a basement with bins. Newborn, summer, winter, age. So a kid comes in, they'll always have clean clothes. They'll always have toys. Because when they come in, we're strangers. And when they wake up in the morning, they're in a new place.
Right.
And most of the time I sleep on the floor, so when they wake up, they're not startled. Well, I'm not a spring chicken, as Chuck pointed out at the last service.
Just keeping it real, people. Just keeping it real.
And you want to care for them and make sure that they feel safe. And in that safety, they will share. And sometimes the things they share is not nice.
Yeah.
But our next journey, is that we're hoping to adopt a 2-year-old that we've had since he was two. We've had him since he was 2 days old. And that's not everyone's journey. It wasn't our journey either. Mm. It wasn't. We didn't get into this to adopt because I was done with that phase of life. But my heart And people go, how can you do it? How can you say goodbye?
And it could be, like Josephine just said, it could be for many of us, many of us have hit that stage of life where we're empty nesters. We've already learned so much. How awesome would it be to give back some of what you've already learned? And I would just say, search your heart and try to decide, okay, what would the Lord have for me? I'd be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity, Kayla, to show the QR codes so that people can connect with you. And so if you guys would put that on the screen, I'd appreciate it. It's a good QR code that lets you to connect directly with Uniting Hope. Now, one of the things I know about Uniting Hope is that one, they are here to make this absolutely work with you and for you. The reason we partnered with them was not because they're going to go guilt you into something because today you said, I want to know more. It's about they want to help you. They want to hold your hand. They want to make sure that it serves exactly what God's will is for your life and it's not forced on you. That's one of the reasons I fell in love with this ministry. But to kind of put a bow on the day, let me give you a couple of practical things that I hope you'll walk away with today. Number one, when you choose to be a part of a fostering ministry, you're living out the gospel. You are literally living out the gospel. I mean, think about it. Most of you in this room today, you woke up with a roof over your head. Most of you woke up in a bed. Most of you woke up and had something to eat, and you had some method of transportation, and you got to church. You're already a light year ahead of these children, right? Most of you didn't feel threatened. Most of you were safe when you woke up. Most of you are going home to a safe environment. When you live out the gospel, you are literally living out sharing and caring and loving people that cannot care for themselves. That is the story of the gospel. The American church has made the gospel into sharing a sinner's prayer and people walking an aisle and getting baptized. That is a piece of the gospel. That is not the gospel. The gospel is when you live it out in your life and you do what Christ has called us to do and to care for people who cannot care for themselves. Jesus made a big deal about that's how you live out the gospel. So you're living out the gospel. Secondly, you're choosing to live out faith. You're literally choosing to live out faith. Without faith, none of this is possible. I mean, if you do this apart from the faith that you have in Christ alone, then you're going to die doing this. I mean, it will suck the life out of you. On the other hand, kind of what Dan was talking about, if you go into it because this is what God has equipped and called me to, then you're fueled by it. I mean, it's a big difference. I mean, I want to give you what Psalm 40 says. Psalm 40 reads this way. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, which sounds a little bit like quicksand, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Listen to me. Everybody knows to get out of a mess, to get out of a pit, you got to have help. If we leave this in the hands of the government, it will never get solved. It will never get solved. By the way, that's not throwing shade on Democrats or Republicans or anybody. It's the simple fact that government equals bureaucracy, and bureaucracy is not what these children need. What these children need is the love of Christ that His church is called to give them. I mean, it's that simple. You say, well, Chuck, okay, that's all good. Listen to what God's promise is for all of us. I hear your cry. I will deliver you from despair, and I will give you stability. Here's a foster kid's prayer that might sound like this. God, you see me and hear me, but I've lost all hope. Would you remind me that I need to wait on you to deliver me, and you're the one who lifts me out of my mess? Now, hear me. You are plan A, and there is no plan B. God's plan to fix this mess, He gave to us in His word, go serve widows and orphans. That's our job. And you say, well then Chuck, how come I need a little more? Okay, Micah 6:8, go to the Old Testament. This is what God requires of you, three things. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly. There is nothing on the planet that does more justice than to take a child out of a system with no home and no stability and no love and put them into a situation with stability, with faith, and with love. There's nothing this, I mean, the very nature of that word says to do what is wrong and make it a right. That's justice, making a wrong a right. I can't think of it anything more wrong than a child who did nothing to deserve that heartache than for the people of God to step in and eliminate the heartache. I can't think of anything that sounds more like justice. I can't think of anything more merciful than you wrap your arms around something like, I want to be a part of Care Portal. I want to be a part of a community to serve. I want to do what I can. That's mercy. That is when mercy stops being something that comes from heaven and you store up for your good, but you become a conduit of heaven's mercy that flows through you. And then the last one, walk humbly. There is nothing more humbling than to have a child come in and they don't know you from beans, and all of a sudden you are their rock. You are their safe place. You are their security. Nothing's more humbling than that. But I also can't think of anything that'd be more rewarding than that. So I just want to ask you, today, would you be willing to be one of those people that would say, Chuck, I don't know what I can do. I don't think I can do what Josephine did. I'm not even sure I can do what Julie and Dan did. But I know I can do what Candace is talking about. I know there's I can be a part of a community that can serve. I'll see what Uniting Hope can do because I know that I need to do something. Then I'd say at the end of this service, go to that table. Nobody's going to bombard you with stuff, but hear me, folks, listen. We make a big deal around here about the fact that when you get Jesus in the right priority of your life, you're going to get the rest of life right. Amen. The only way that you will ever find your place of service and ministry doing exactly what he's called you to do is to get him in the right priority. Because without it, you can't do any of this. I mean, you can't do any of this without Christ being preeminent in your life. But when that happens, you are suddenly equipped to do everything necessary. Because you're going to trust in faith that the Spirit of God will give you exactly what to do at the right time with the right child, and you are going to be blessed so richly because that kid is blessed. Listen, Jesus made a big deal on the Sermon on the Mount. You want to get near to Jesus? You want all that? Then draw near to the brokenhearted. Blessed are the merciful. Wow. I just cannot fathom a church like ours not wrapping its arms around this ministry. It is one thing to do a day. I mean, honestly, it's one out of 52 weeks. But I want you to get so sick and tired of hearing me talk about foster ministry that eventually the Spirit of God speaks to you and says, okay, finally, I'm in. Because we're not stopping. We're not going to slow down. This is not once a year. We are full bore, pedal to the metal. Let's go. Let's fix the problem in the state of Georgia. You say, Chuck, but we're just one church. No, we're not. Look around you. This has become a big old honking church, y'all, with a lot of people, with a lot of resources, and I believe whatever God has given us, let's be accountable for it and do it right. So I'm going to ask you, would you pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, in this moment, would you speak wisdom into the hearts and minds of men and women, families, couples? Give them wisdom to know what part they're to play. Give them the courage to know what they're to do. Give them the willingness to simply walk to a table and say, I don't know what I can do, but I'll see. Break our hearts for people that don't have what we have. And then break our hearts to go give it away. Jesus calls us to love you more. And in that love, to serve like you. God bless Uniting Hope and Kayla. Thank you for the partnership. God, thank you for my friends that joined me on stage and for folks watching online and in this room. God, let us be a people that don't just hear you, but we run to you, answer the call on our life. And it's in the name of Jesus, the King, the Savior, and the Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen.